It was a beautiful week, wasn't it? Oh, it's just gorgeous weather. I know even this morning, just seeing the sun rise and the dew in the fields, and it was just one of those mornings, it's just good to be alive. Sometimes it's creation just shouts out that we have a God, a mighty God, and it was beautiful. If you would turn in your Bibles to Psalm 90, we're not going to read it quite yet, but we will get there in just a minute. Psalm chapter 90. It's taken some time for me to get to this point where I'm up here again. It's been 2 months. It's hard to believe. And I felt it this week, too, as I was preparing. Those skills that just come so naturally, sometimes you just have to work at it a little harder, and that was one of those weeks. But it was a good week. And the Lord has given me a word that I'd like to share with you, and He's been speaking to me about this for a while. When I originally went into the hospital, I had back surgery. I needed a disc and some rods and a fusion. And after I came home, it must have been about 5 days later, I still wasn't feeling better. And so one thing I never do is go to the ER. Well, that's where I ended up going, to the ER. I said, Arlie, you're going to have to bring me there because something's wrong. And it was through that they determined that I had blood cancer, and that was going to have to be something that I was going to have to work on. And I never imagined all that was going to be involved in this. I know some of you have gone through it. I know some of you have had relatives that have gone through it, and it's a difficult thing. It really is. And when they start putting you on those drugs, oh, those are just, they're ugly. They really are. They steal your mind. They steal your strength. It's not easy to go through. But one thing I really appreciated through it all was the love of this church family. You were so faithful. The cards, the letters, not only in the hospital, but, you know, once we got home. The meals that so many of you have brought over. I know when we had the meal here at church, I was astounded at all the people that were here that I didn't know. I had never met before, just from the community. And what an incredible community to live in, to experience that kind of love and all your support. And then the support of my family. I couldn't have done it without them. Support friends and family. I could just go on and not get to the end of it. One thing I did notice as I've gone through this, both in the hospital and since coming home, in a lot of your cards and letters, was the same passage or texts out of the same chapter. And that was Psalm 90. And it wasn't always the same verse, but a lot of times it was. And I find that when God speaks to me that way, when God keeps bringing up a certain chapter, certain verses, you got to pay attention. And so that's what I have been doing these last weeks. And that's what I'd like to share with you this morning. Because there's so much here, I don't think there's any way I'm going to be able to get through it all. But we'll have a good start. And hopefully I'll be up here next week and be able to continue. It's amazing how God works. A little bit about being we went up to Marquette, to the hospital there, and it just so happened that at the very time that I was up there, they had a specialist, an Dologist or whatever you call those guys. Yeah, whatever. And, and he also specialized on kidneys. And one thing I didn't know was that my kidneys were shutting down too when I went to the hospital. And he was able to reverse that immediately, whereas right now I have no issues at all. I mean, that's completely gone. And I just praise the Lord for that. But that he was there at that time. He actually lives out east somewhere, like in another state. Spends a couple weeks up in Marquette and then goes back home, and he's with his family again for a week, and that he was there at the very time that I needed him. It's not by chance. I mean, that's the good Lord being at work and just providing for his people. And I saw that over and over and over and over again through my time in the hospital and even since then in coming home. And again, a passage the Lord kept bringing back to me was Psalm chapter 90, and so I'd like to read that now. And if you would take your Bibles out and join me. A prayer of Moses, the man of God. Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever you had formed the earth and the world, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. You return man to dust and say, return, O children of man. For 1,000 years in your sight are but as yesterday when it is past, or as a watch in the night, which would be briefly. You sweep them away as with a flood. They are like a dream, like grass that is renewed in the morning. In the morning it flourishes and is renewed. In the evening it fades and it withers. We are brought to an end by your anger. By your wrath we are dismayed. You have set our iniquities before you, our secret sins in the light of your presence. For all our days pass away under your wrath. We bring our years to an end like a sigh. The years of our life are 70, or even by reason of strength, 80. Yet their span is but toil and trouble. They are soon gone and we fly away. Who considers the power of your anger and your wrath according to the fear of you? So teach us to number our days that we may get a heart of wisdom. Return, O Lord, how long? Have pity on your servants. Satisfy us in the morning with your steadfast love, that we may rejoice and be glad in our days. Make us glad for as many days as you have afflicted us, and for as many years we have seen evil. Let your work be shown to your servants, and your glorious power to your children. Let the favor of the Lord our God be upon us, and establish the work of our hands upon us. Yes, establish the work of our hands. I think another thing that the Lord really impressed upon my wife and I, especially when we were in the hospital, and I can't tell you how many times we said this to each other, was question and answer one of the Heidelberg Catechism, which I know so many of you know by heart. What is your only comfort in life and in death? That I'm not my own, but belong body and soul and life and in death to my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. He has fully paid for all my sins with his precious blood and has set me free from the tyranny of the devil. He also watches over me in such a way that not a hair can fall from my head without the will of my Father in heaven. In fact, all things must work together for my salvation. Because I belong to him, Christ, by his Holy Spirit, assures me of eternal life and makes me wholeheartedly willing and ready from now on to live for him. I'm not sure if you noticed how this psalm began, Psalm 90, which I read just a bit ago. But it spoke of God as being called the Ancient One. What if after the service I went up to, I don't know, say Ray Venskapen, Ray Vensloten, and I said to him, boy, you really are ancient. Would that be a compliment? Ray? you don't have to answer that. Is being called ancient a compliment to most people? And I would say probably not. Because when we're called ancient, we're really being called old, right? Maybe decrepit, can't do the things that we used to do. Our eyesight starts to go, our health starts to go. We start having issues, problems. It's not fun to be ancient. But it's different for God, because he's our Father in heaven and he's immune to these things. He is the ancient one. Let me read just a couple of those verses again that kind of describe what that means, God being ancient. Verse 2, before the mountains were brought forth or ever, you had formed the earth and the world from everlasting to everlasting. You are God. He was there from the very beginning. There was no beginning because he existed. For 1,000 years, verse 14, in your sight are but as yesterday when it's past, or as a watch in the night. Verse 12, so teach us to number our days so that we may get a heart of wisdom. Verse 14, satisfy us in the morning with your steadfast love that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. All our days. It's like our days are a gift from him, right from the very beginning. Psalm 90 is attributed actually to Moses. We think the Psalms are mostly David and a lot of the priests in that time era, but this goes back even farther than that. Even though he actually wrote three, you could either call them poems or songs, whatever it might be. But the first one was written after God delivered them from Pharaoh. Another one was written when he climbed Mount Nebo, where he died. Of the three songs or poems that Moses wrote, I think Psalm 90 is probably the most somber and most subtle, because it really does talk about the consequences of sin and that the wages of sin is death. That's what the Bible teaches us. Because that generation in the desert, those 40 years, they were not allowed to enter into the promised land. And that was hard for them. It was hard for the people, but it was also hard for Aaron, who wasn't allowed. That was Moses' brother, and for Miriam, and even for Moses himself after he struck the rock. Hebrews 9:27 says, man is destined to die once, and after that, destined to face judgment. And because death is inseparable, it's important that we prepare for it. It's something that we all will face unless the Lord comes again and calls us home. This is the way that God has determined to punish our sin. But at the same time, he has also provided salvation. That wonderful, amazing salvation that we find only in Jesus Christ. That last week, I thought the sermon brought out so well. God's amazing grace. But as I said earlier, the psalm doesn't have a defeated tone to it. It's not bitter. But I think it's rejoiceful, actually. Because it talks about our hope. Our hope that can only be found in Christ Jesus. Some of you might even have recognized Psalm 90 in the song that we've sung, Our God, Our Help in Ages Past. It's based on this psalm. And again, it just brings out those beautiful words of salvation. We need to see our lives as a gift from God. And we need to make the most of each day. The Lord has given us a lot of time. Time to work, time to laugh and play. But I think most importantly, time to spend with him, to walk with him, to allow him to be our God, to be our Lord, to lead us, to guide us. We need to see every day as a gift from God. Lamentations 3:22 says, "It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning." There's forgiveness. And in the morning, it's a fresh start, where we again walk with the Lord and his mercies and his goodness. Just as we were formed from the earth, so one day we're going to return to the earth, where we're going to be as dust. We're here for such a short time. And while we're here, we can shine so brilliantly, so beautifully, like on a beautiful fall day when you see the colors in the trees. But despite our beauty, yet it is a very short amount of time. And we forget that sometimes. Verse 4 says, it's like a brief watch in the night. Like a watchman standing guard over the city gates. Only for a short time. But eventually the morning is going to come. Moses says we are like new grass in the morning in verse 5. And that phrase, I think, actually deserves just a little bit of explanation. In the arid climate of the East, oftentimes there's heavy dew, even a little bit of rain during the night. And as a result of that, come morning time, there will actually be green grass on the brown hillsides. Not tall grass, but enough grass for the sheep or the animals to be able to eat. But as the day goes on and the sun gets hotter and it starts to scorch that grass, by the end of the day, it's gone. Again, another description of just how brief our lives really are. Our lives are like that. They're very short. We think we have all the time in the world, but we don't. Our time here on earth really is very brief, and we have to make the best of it. Imagine if your bank called you this morning, or not this morning, but come tomorrow, sometime this week, and told you that an anonymous donor had decided to deposit 8,400 pennies into your account each day, 7 days a week, for the rest of your life. What an amazing gift. Doesn't sound like much, but it starts to add up, especially if you're given that every single day. But there's one stipulation. You have to spend that money each and every day. There's no balance that you can carry over to the next day. Every evening, the bank, whatever pennies are left, will take away and redeposit in their account. I hope you can see the parallel of that even to our own lives. Because in the same way, God, who loves you, deposits in your time account 86,400 seconds each day, or 1,440 minutes, or 24 hours. And really, the same stipulation applies here, because God does not allow any of our time to be carried over from one day to the next. Just like money, time is both passing, something that we can't hang on to, but it's also an incredible opportunity. An opportunity to embrace, an opportunity to use. And that's why Paul warns us in Ephesians 5 to wake up, O sleeper. Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. We need to know what God's will is. Do you know that the average American, by the time they're 35, will spend 5 months in their lifetime tying their shoes? 5 months. 6 months sitting at red lights, especially if you live in Florida or California, I think. 8 months opening junk mail, just like Nate was talking about. 1 year looking for misplaced objects. Lately, I've been doing a lot of that. 4 years doing housework, 5 years waiting in line, 6 years eating, 15 years working, and 20 years sleeping. It's amazing the things that we fill our lives with that we never really, really intended to. And that's why David says in Psalm 39:4, "Show me, O Lord, my life's end and the number of my days. Let me know how fleeting my life is." We need to know that, because it's so easy to think we have forever. There's always going to be tomorrow, but it's not true. That really can be a problem. We overestimate the time that we have left until something happens to you, and suddenly you're in the hospital, you're laying in a bed with cancer, and wondering, how much time do you have left? Is the Lord planning on calling you home? Is this it, or does he still have things for you to do? You know, you wonder, at times like this, if you've been faithful. I know as I laid in that hospital bed and you wondered what was going to happen. Have I been faithful? Have I been obedient to the Lord? Or have I forgotten at times why I'm here? What the Lord has called me to do? I know as I lay in that hospital bed, I had to ask myself at times, do I take my sin as seriously as God does? Because God hates every evidence of it. Every evidence of it in our lives. And is that how I look at sin? Or do I tolerate it? Do I act like certain sins really aren't such a big deal? They're not all the same. But we know what the Bible has to say about that, right? Sin is sin. And he hates every evidence of it in our lives. As I said earlier, we heard a wonderful sermon, I think last week, about God's amazing grace. And I praise the Lord that my salvation is not dependent on my works. Because if it was, there would be no hope. And it's important to know, without any doubt, before we fly away home, like verse 10 talks about, that without Jesus, there is no hope. He is our hope. There's only one way to heaven, and that's through Jesus. That's through the cross. I know in our world today, they try to come up with all these different, all roads lead to the top of the mountain, but that's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Well, like I said, I warned you earlier that we're not going to get through this entire chapter because there's so much here. It's a beautiful psalm, and I encourage all of you to read it this week, and not just read it once, but read it a couple times, and just let it soak in as we continue to dig into it even next week. But as a way to end this morning, I actually wanted to totally leave Moses and talk about a different person, and that's a story that we find in the book of Daniel. You might remember the story of King Belshazzar. Remember the party he threw for all his officials and the writing that appeared on the wall? And when the king saw that handwriting, he was terrified. We're told in that chapter that his knees were knocking. I don't know if I've ever had my knees knock, but I'd have to be pretty scared for that to happen. And because he was so terrified, and apparently there was no one there who could actually interpret what was found on the wall, it made it even worse until someone suggested that they find Daniel, who was able to interpret it through God's help. See, apparently King our king, he had the same problem that Nebuchadnezzar had. He had a lot of pride. Pride in himself. Pride in his own abilities. I think that's something that we can struggle with at times too. That pride. Do you remember what the writing on the wall, that finger, do you remember what that actually wrote on the wall? I know we're not looking at that story, so let me just tell you. Mene, mene, tekel, parson. Mene means your days are numbered and finished. You have been weighed and you've been found wanting. What a horrible thing to hear on the day of judgment. Your kingdom will now be taken away and given to another. And this message, it wasn't just for the king, but this message was for all of us. Job 14:5 tells us our days are numbered from birth. Within those days, we have to fulfill God's purposes, purposes that he's given to each of us. He's given each of you gifts that he wants you to use to carry out those purposes. And he not only gives us those gifts, but he gives us the power, the ability to be able to do those things that we could never do on our own. John 14:5 tells us, our days are numbered from birth. When those days we have to fulfill, in those days we have to fulfill God's purposes, but John 19:4 reminds us that we must use them wisely. Our every minute, our every hour, that the Lord gives us, those gifts that God has bestowed upon us. We need to use them wisely, not for selfish gain, but for God's glory. We must work the works of him who sent us wisely while it is still day. Night is coming when no one can work. And that day is coming when the Lord will return and call us home. And so that means now is the time to live for his glory. Now is the day of the Lord. And he's even given us everything we need to be able to carry out his will. And so we have no excuse. Second tekel, the king was weighed and found wanting. He was weighed and found wanting. This means our words and our actions, our thoughts, our deeds. They're being weighed and measured every day, and one day we're going to be held accountable for them all. Everything we've done. But thankfully, on that page with our name on it, despite our sin, despite the wrongs that we've done, we're going to see only the blood of Jesus. And it's because of his righteousness, because of his love, because of what he accomplished for us on the cross that those sins no longer weigh against us. But we've been set free from them. We've been given the gift of salvation. In Hebrews 4:13, we are told God is a righteous judge and who will determine who is found wanting or worthy. And I wouldn't want it to be any other way. And then finally, parson, that last word. Your kingdom will be given away to others. As I've already mentioned, and rather than spending eternity with God and His kingdom, you'll be walking alone, forever separated from His love, from His grace. What a horrible proposition to think of eternity without Jesus. The finger of God is and will continue to write on the walls of people's lives. That hasn't ended. That continues. Your days are numbered from birth. Your lifestyle is being weighed and judged every day. And we will be held accountable. And when the lots are divided, where will you be standing? Are you ready for that great day of judgment that's about to appear? Do you await it with joy, knowing that it's going to be the beginning of eternity? We're going to be home with our Heavenly Father forever, because it really is right around the corner. We just have to look at the world around us, and we see what's happening, and the day is coming soon. And on that day, will you be standing with God's hand, face of judgment looking at you? Or will you see grace in the form of Jesus? I want to close this morning a little bit different than I have normally. And again, this is a song that the Lord has impressed upon my heart and my family too. How many times I've heard this song in the last 2 months, I can't even begin to tell you. Not only does it convict, but it encourages as well. And I hope you will hear that encouragement this morning. And even if this isn't necessarily your style of music, pay attention to the words. They're going to be up on the screen. And if you know the song, you're welcome to sing with it. But if not, just listen and allow it to minister to your heart. It's called Made for More by Josh Baldwin.
I know who I am, 'cause I know who you are. The cross of salvation was only the start. Now I am chosen, I'm free and forgiven. I have a few.
Not to stand over a grave, not just to sit here until the Lord calls us home, but we've got work to do. Praise the Lord, and we are children of the King. Join me in prayer. Father in heaven, Lord, we just thank you for this day. Thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, that we were made for more, for the purpose that you've called each of us to. Forgive us, Lord, when we forget that. Father, when we get sidetracked by the things of this world, the petty things of this world, and we shake our head sometimes at the end of the day and we wonder, what did we accomplish for you? But Father, thank you that there is grace. Thank you for your Son, Jesus, for the forgiveness that is ours. And we just pray, Lord, that from this day forward, that we might again put our eyes on you and put you first. May we all live for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.